BurgstudentInnen treffen auf spannende Persönlichkeiten im Rahmen der Bauhaus Study Rooms Dessau.
Burg Students Podcast Edition.
Bauhaus Study Rooms.
Today with Bauhaus Study Rooms.
Hello, I'm Greta Balcho. I am talking today with Rifki Fajri, Rifandi Nugroho and Farid Rakun, who are part of the Jakarta-based Ruang Rupa Collective. This interview happens after the Bauhaus Dessau study rooms, where they gave a workshop and a presentation about their work and culture. I'm meeting them on a video call, asking about their social approach of art and design. Thank you for coming again, and welcome at the Hurra Hurra podcast. Maybe could you introduce yourself a little?
I can start. My name is Farid Rakun. I'm from Jakarta, Indonesia, based here as well still right now. I'm part of the artist collective Ruang Rupa.
Hello, Mas Fandi. My name is Rifki Fajri. I'm from Jakarta based designer, product designer, and I'm joined the laboratorium and at Ruang Rupa, art laboratory at Ruang Rupa, and now I'm conductor for the unconditional design in Jakarta for the research program for product design.
Yeah. I'm Rifandi, an editor, I'm writer, researcher, also curator. I'm working as an editor in C for the architectureindonesia.org. It's a publication media focused on the architectural Indonesian architectural archives and documentation. I'm part of Collective Kurator Kampung. It's like a curator collective. It was established in 2017, part of Ruang Rupa Curatorial Workshop in focus with the public space activities. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, so my name is Greta. I'm a student in Halle in Germany. And I was just following the last days, the Bauhaus Dessau study rooms. Your workshops you gave were really interesting. I thought for me they were a bit outstanding compared to the others. in a very good way, of course, I mean.
Yeah.
So, of course, I did some research about your work. And... Mm-hmm. Your big project, which is still ongoing, is Good School. Maybe could you just explain shortly what it is?
Good School is an informal educational platform founded in 2018, the end of 2018, actually. It is kind of like a collective of collectives, if you will, founded by Ruang Rupa, Serum, and Grafis Ruhara. They're all like Jakarta-based collectives, artistic collectives. And then, the reason or excuse why we founded Good School is because we consider ourselves as a bank of resources. And then we were looking for the better ways to share those resources to more people, especially in Indonesia. At least when it was founded, we were thinking about the context of Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, because like a lot of new and exciting artistic happenings, at least for myself, I can say it's happening outside of the three cultural capitals of Indonesia. First Jogja, second Bandung, and only third is Jakarta. And then outside of these cultural capitals, interesting things are happening, and then we kind of like want to support that, and then look for ways to share what we are to those contacts, let's say.
So the first workshop with you at the Bauhaus Study Rooms, it was this prayer, the Slamitan, if I'm pronouncing it right. So it's this ritual from the island Java, where you come from, and it's a prayer for harmony and peace inside a person, but also in between people or with any living being. So I was wondering, because it was different to what the other participants of the study rooms were doing, what is your relation to the spirituality, and how do you use it in your work?
Fandi, do you want to answer that? Start answering it.
Actually, Selamatan originally happened everywhere during this day, up to this day. It's still used for the ritual, even in the contemporary society like now, although it's originally coming from ancient Japanese culture. But even in Jakarta, like in the capital city of Indonesia, in a big city, and other big cities in Indonesia, these kind of rituals are the common practice. For example, like when people want to construction of their own house, they will start it with Selamatan. Or for other example, when we move to new flats, new apartments, or new houses, when we buy new houses, then we live there, we do a Selamatan. So it's really a common practice here. We don't see ourselves with that kind of practice. So the idea behind this Selamatan, by doing this Selamatan to the Bauhaus Study Room, coming from one collective from East Java, Kutha Timur, it is in the frame of spatial practice subject that we, the three of us, are conducting in Good School. So Kecua Timur tend to elaborate more this common practice in Indonesia to the context of another building, let's say modern buildings like Bauhaus in Germany, and just want to see what is the reaction of people when they do this kind of things. It's just like superimposing the everyday culture to the the so-called epicentrum of modern buildings, or the starting point of modern architecture in the world. We just want to see how would this happen in another context. Maybe you want to add some more, Mas Farid or Rifki?
About spiritualism, I think well, everyone has different take on it, I would say. Some of us, because being a collective, you cannot just like generalize, no? A group of people. And then, for example, it's not also like, it's from a collective from Sidoarjo, East Java, called Kecua Timur. Directly translated to English is the Eastern Cockroach. And then, it's something vernacular to them, the Selamatan format, and then which is not quite the same case with me. Fandi went to school in East Java, so maybe it's like different, but I can speak to myself, it's a bit different for me. But what I like is like, of course, because they're a participant on the Good School collective program, no? Collective study program. So I would like to see all that kind of expression being absorbed by something like Good School program. So I cannot speak too much about spiritualism because I think like everyone has a different take on it. And then of course, it also like come up with like, it got translated into a language that is kind of like syncretic. So it's not only Muslim, but it's also using Quranic verses, all those kind of stuff. It's also, there's like Indonesian paganism, mixed inside it, all those kind of stuff. So what I would like to say is just like it speaks, that's why I think like it's interesting, because it speaks differently to a lot of people, but in the end of the day the intention is good. So I'm supporting it basically.
Okay, and how exactly do you integrate it in Good School or in your work? Is there a bridge or is it just an opening ritual?
For the ritual itself?
I mean, is it also somewhere in your work, this feeling, the spirituality?
Sometimes, not always. But it's again, like, it was an everyday language. Of course, they gave it a different take, but that everydayness, let's say, of rituals, we play a lot as well. In Jakarta, for example, maybe it's much more usual if you just like cut like a cone-shaped rice, you know, yellow rice, all those kind of stuff for rituals, which we do a lot as well, but that's our way. With Kecoa Timur way, it's that kind of thing, you know, like the Selamatan. Selamatan can take a different form as well. Maybe that's a good thing to say. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, as I said, during the Bauhaus study rooms, I had the feeling you had a kind of a different approach about art and design than many other mainly European based participants. What do you think about it?
Rifki can answer that question, but it's much more comfortable in Indonesian language.
Oh, I don't have a translator here.
Yeah, I can translate.
No,
translate for you.
Oh, okay, yes.
But is it okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. Yeah. It's perfect.
Okay.
Ya oke, Mas. Pertanyaannya tadi apa, Mas?
Kita mengerti desain dan arsitektur berbeda dari peserta-peserta lain yang kebanyakan dari Eropa. Menurut lo gimana? Sebagai unconditional design.
Menurutku. Perbedaan atau pandangan kita atau dari orang apa ya soal desain atau arsitektur itu emang punya jauh yang beda banget sih sama yang ada di Eropa atau yang partisipasi yang ikut di study rooms kemarin. Menurutku kayaknya emang punya ada yang sifat-sifat originalitas atau yang sifatnya kultural kali ya, Mas, atau yang terbawa dari budaya awalnya terus sampai lingkungan sekitar yang membentuk mereka untuk memandang desain atau arsitektur yang bisa punya ciri khas sendiri di Indonesia atau sifatnya di Indonesia gitu sih, Mas. Fokusnya gitu, ketimbang sama orang-orang memandang desain dan arsitektur di Eropa gitu.
Yeah, I'll try to translate that. Yeah, we think we are aware of that difference, the large, like, you know, the very different take on design and architecture from our side and then from the other participants in the event, at least, as you said before. Because, like, maybe I add a little bit in my translation.
Okay.
It's very different as well than the kind of, like, the design and architecture that has been taught to us in the school. Like, in official schools, like, I went to architecture department. Fandi as well. Rifki went to industrial design or product design, no? As a background. Well, what you saw is actually kind of, like, not what usually was taught in our school. Like, what was is much closer to the to those understandings that you were mentioning, the understandings from the other participants, you know? But it's also, I think, what Rifki said, what we're trying to touch on is how the everyday people understand the notion of architecture and design when they were not having that background to begin with. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are not designers, they are not artists, they are not architects, all those kind of stuff. Mm. But like a lot of our participants as well, some, of course, have that background, but a lot also don't. So what our interest is how to make the use of that discipline, architecture and design, to enrich the understanding of the everyday cultural practice and environment that they have been building.
Yes, very refreshing, your approach. Another question I have, so you will also come back to Germany because of the Documenta in 2022. You will curate it. How do you want to bring this bird of yours, which you just described, how do you want to bring it to Germany again in such a big frame?
Yeah, maybe I can answer that one. It is a challenge. We're trying to figure that one out, actually, right now. And then we're not alone in it. It's not only people from Indonesia, for example, who are going to showcase or represent our way of thinking, our way of working, our way of living, and our understanding of art. But also from other places, no? Like the initiatives that we are inviting to join our journey. And I think it is a trap as well, of course. There's like a visible and clear trap of falling into either tokenism, essentialism, exoticism, all those kind of stuff. But we're trying to avoid that trap by making clear that what we're doing is not representational only. We're not only talking about something that is different, but we're trying to actually doing it, you know? So hopefully people can understand it by experiencing it. Germany, not Germany, Europe, Western Europe, or other Western Hemisphere, even like other Western model institutions, that's not necessarily only happening in the Western world, no? Like, we have been in conversation and negotiation for a long time about that as well, like how to make this type of events are not extractive, it are not like, you know, only useful for the institution, but also useful back to our own context, to Indonesia for our case, so like context like Mali, Palestine, Colombia, Hungary, even, you know, like all those kind of things.
Okay, so you want to? I read an interview with you, Farid, once, where you said that storytelling is your way of communication and your way of curating. You also want to apply this at the Documenta in Kassel.
Storytelling is one of our main interests, let's say. This is from like an understanding of like there's a limit of what to do, you know? So theories, but instead of theories, we're going to use stories because it's much more relatable. It's much more popular.
Mm-hmm.
It can also be open to interpretation even, you know? So that's why we're using stories. And then storytelling become like a mechanism. So it's like storytelling is one of the format that we think could be also like inclusive. Like we are used to stories since we are children, no? So imagine if like children can understand as well Documenta 15. Maybe they would understand it differently than the adults, like along the professionals of the arts world, you know, like all those kind of stuff. But it's kind of, for us, it is exactly why we want to use storytelling. So it's not like, it's not through theories we're going to explain, but through stories we're going to tell and let people experience.
Yes. So what do you think or hope? How would it be for the visitors of the Documenta? Or what do you maybe expect?
We don't know yet right now, but if you ask me right now, it would be because it's still in the making. I'm just afraid of making false promises, you know? But if you ask me right now, it would be great if it's like a bank of knowledge. It's like people from all over, not only geographically, but also age group, backgrounds, all those kind of stuff, can take something, maybe different things from the 100 days of Documenta 50 in Kassel, and then take mm-hmm. and build upon it. Change,
yes.
Alter it, make their own version of different things that they learn from it, all those kind of stuff. But that's like the I would be very happy if it happened.
Yes, actually, that's all that I wanted to know from you. So we can wrap up the talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. I hope it was useful.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Greta.
Thank you, Greta.
Thanks.
Bye.
BurgstudentInnen treffen auf spannende Persönlichkeiten im Rahmen der Bauhaus Study Rooms Dessau.
Borg Students Podcast Edition.
Bauhaus Study Rooms. Today with Bauhaus Study Rooms.